Hi, I'm Tahiti Placencia. Today I'll be interviewing my mom, Genesis Kelly, and we'll be discussing the American dreams. So the first question is, what does American dream mean to you?
The American dream to me means not based off of the benchmark of the 1950s. It's more, and because I'm originally from Hawaii, so my idea of the American dream is just like having maybe just a small place. Some place I don't have to maintain too much. And, you know, just getting up in the morning, maybe going spearfishing or something like that. Just being out. That's my American dream. I don't think, for me, I think it's ridiculous to have so much money to attain some sort of dream or an idea of a dream. I think being simple is enough. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Second question is, why did you leave Hawaii and move to California?
I originally moved to California to take care of a family member. And the family member, she'd been in a car accident. She had an external fixator, and she had two little ones, and I took care of them for about a year. And that's why I moved out here. So again, culturally, you can see I'm not your stereotypical American. I come from a different culture in Hawaii. You know, we are ride and die, that's for sure. Even if we have spats within the family, for sure.
True. All right. Third question is, what significant dream or goal you had that could help you to your American dream?
A significant dream
or a goal that you want, that you're trying to pursue.
Well, currently I'm going to school. So I go to Cal State Fullerton. I'm a business major, and I'm also doing a minor in anthropology. So my goal, and maybe it is related to my idea of American dream, but then again, it's like, okay, this is not the benchmark of the 1950s, where it's like, get a good job and, you know, get a house and get a car and take vacations, and not the same. So ultimately, I want to have a business, but I don't want to be a small business owner. I want to have a big business. And I think right now, me going to school and doing everything I need to do, even though obviously we've had to sacrifice a lot, and you guys have seen that, monetarily, we can't do too much. I have to work a lot. I have to study a lot. But you know what? I think this experience now is what I know I'll have to do in order to build a business. So when you guys were little and you remember, I did have my own small business, but all the lessons I learned from that not being successful, then I realized, okay, I need to shore up a lot of things. Like, I need to understand economics. I need to understand finance. I need to understand how to put a business plan together, how to read legal stuff. You know, all this goes into understanding what you need to do in order to have a business, but to get past the first 5 years and then past the next 5 years. Your probability of failure within the first 5 years for any startup company or business, or even a small business, is 80% failure rate. Then when you move into 10 years, before you reach your 10-year mark, your business is expected to fail at a 96% failure rate. So most businesses do not succeed. A lot of people think, oh, the people who've grown huge businesses, that this happened overnight. No, takes a long time to get it to the place where it can grow on its own. So it's not easy. It's a lot of sacrifice. You sacrifice your social life. You sacrifice your family life. Sometimes you work just to put money into that business, you know. Sometimes you work for free. Sometimes you don't sleep, you know. It's a lot that goes into it. So for me, adding to my education and understanding the reality of it, that's adding, I guess, to my goal of my definition of the American dream.
Okay. Do you still believe in the American dream?
I believe in my American dream. I don't think I've ever believed in, I guess I'll use the benchmark of 1950s. I think it's a lot of BS, for sure. Because look, the reality is that the 1950s version of the American dream was only for a certain segment of the American population. That wasn't available to everybody else. So, not having that type of diversity actually hurts the economy. I think we're in a better place because now there's more opportunity to grow as far as industries are concerned, and to create new industries, and to create different segments and add to layers of the business world. Look at just, let's take apparel. 20 years ago, you would never see streetwear on the on the runways in New York or in Paris. It wouldn't have happened. Like, that's like, I want to say the 1980s, you would never see streetwear. And now streetwear is the standard. All the fashion houses are having to now incorporate that to make them relevant to today's consumer. So, and I think that's significant because that is actual factual data that you can see in the business world, that the idea of what the previous American dream is, I think that goes into supporting my idea that, or my belief that it's a bunch of BS. I actually think it's better now.
Okay. Do you think the American dream is the reason why there's many people in debt?
Yeah, I do think. Because it's no... It's a combination of maybe having that old way of thinking that in order to, you know, have the American dream, you need to floss. Definitely what you have. You have to have a house. You gotta have a nice car. You have to have stuff. But then again, I don't know. It's different, generational. So, you know, boomers, baby boomers, definitely they need to have shit to, sorry. God, it's a class. Sorry, teacher. Well, the baby boomers, they're, and you can, even in marketing, this is something significant. If you want to market to baby boomer, they have to have something tangible. Like, they have to have a product. You have to sell them something that they can show. You know, the Gen Xers kind of deviate away from that a little bit. The millennials are interesting because they kind of exhibit the same habits as baby boomers, where they need to have, whether it's like a label or something, to show that they have some sort of status symbols, that's what they're called. But then again, now a status symbol has also turned into experiences, and we'll see what happens with you Gen Zers and how you guys respond. It seems to be that you guys are more focused on experience and not really you guys don't really care about having something having something tangible to show that, hey, look at me now, you know. But yeah, I do think that contributes to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so last question. Was there any obstacle did you face routine, like your American dream?
Well, I'm still working on it. So yeah, there's a lot of freaking obstacles. As you know, it's super hard. Mm-hmm. Especially because, one obstacle would be, unfortunately, your grandma, for sure, telling me that my place is to be home with my kids. And then her saying that, okay, if it came down to it, going to school, or making sure the house is clean for you guys, that I should quit school. Like, that's just terrible. That's just bad advice, you know? And now I can't really hold it against her, because your grandma's 82 and she's mm-hmm. never really had to work her life. She's had your grandpa support her whole life. She doesn't even have Social Security because she never worked, you know? But she has your grandpa's pension. She has her medical paid for. So on one hand, she doesn't really understand what it's like to be the breadwinner. So her idea of like, okay, well, but you can work and still have to take care of your kids like a Stepford wife, that's not the reality of it, because shit, I have to save for my retirement, you know? It's not something she's ever had to worry about, and I think it's a generational thing, definitely. But I think that's been a hurdle even with your dad kind of has that same mentality, where as a woman, and it's a structural, you know, this is your place. But it's stupid, because look, if they would just be supportive, I'd be a lot further along than them putting these freaking obstacles in my way, you know? Now, I have no problem, you know, letting them know that they, in a respectful way, especially your grandma, but that's something that, you know, she needs to have some boundaries and also respect that this is my decision and this is what I'm going to do. And also, you know, well, let's just keep it. It's just some structural obstacles, definitely. But that's unfortunate, because it stems within the family unit, and your family unit is supposed to be the most supportive. But other obstacles, I mean, the other obstacles, whether it's school or having a lack of time or having to work, I don't really consider them obstacles, because it makes me more competitive. And I'm walking into a job market where there's a lot more, I'm going to be working with people who are younger than me. But what I have found is that because I'm going to school now at 39, and I have so much, I've been working since I was 15, I actually stand out amongst them, because I have the same education. I know the same exact tools. I know how to use social media, but I have experience. So it gives me a competitive advantage in most scenarios that I walk into, or whether interviewing or whatever. I'm not too concerned of having to go up a 20-year-old, because I know I'll dominate them.
So that's all the questions I have. Thank you, Ma, for answering my question. I appreciate it. So, bye.